Last night in Deep Blue, New Jersey, President Trump held the first of two re-election rallies this week.
While we are creating jobs and killing terrorists, the congressional Democrats are obsessed with demented hoaxes, crazy witch hunts, and deranged partisan crusades.
And in Iowa, Democrats running for president are making their closing arguments ahead of the caucuses on Monday. For this and more, let's bring in our political strategists. Angela Rye is a Democratic strategist and joins me here at NPR West. And Matt Makowiak is a Republican strategist, and he joins us from KUT in Austin, Texas. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Hey.
Well, before we get to the 2020 election, let's talk about the impeachment trial and really its impact on the election. Even though it's projected that there will not be enough Republican Senate votes to remove Trump from office, how do you think it's weighing on the minds of voters? Do you think there are any voters undecided on whether or not to remove President Trump? And if so, if anyone is reaching out to those people, I'll start with you, Angela.
Yeah, I think this is definitely weighing on the minds of voters, especially those who have decided and have been decided for some time. There are voters among us who have been waiting for Donald Trump to be impeached since the Mueller report. There are those of us who among us who thought that Ukraine should have been beyond the tipping point, and that should have been just another article. But it wasn't. When you consider what he was actually impeached for in the House, Mueller wasn't even present, right? And I think that is a tough reality. The other thing that we have to consider is, and I've raised this a lot, whether or not Democrats waited too late for this, the fact that it is going right into the heart of primary season. How much longer will it take and how will it matter?
Well, that's because the speaker actually did not want to move forward with this. I want to bring you in, Matt, because really, I'm thinking about supporters of Trump. Does this embolden them? What are your thoughts on this and as they're watching this impeachment trial?
Yeah, it seems to me impeachment is working to kind of fire up the base of both parties. I haven't seen any evidence that voters in the middle, that the very small number of truly persuadable undecided voters is moving because of impeachment. And I think since impeachment's likely to resolve itself in the next perhaps few days, if not certainly a couple of weeks, we got to remember the election, you know, by the time it comes around, impeachment will be 9 months in the rearview mirror. And so I just have from the beginning have not believed impeachment is going to matter that much in the 2020 election. We are facing a consequential decision by the Senate likely on Friday related to witnesses. You know, depending on what time of day, the last couple of days, it's looked like it might go one direction or the other.
John Bolton to testify? Is that something you want to hear from him?
So the short answer is, look, I think that there can be benefit from him testifying, yes. He obviously is a fact witness. He was in the room for a lot of these things. However, I also think that senators, if a majority of the Senate decides they have enough information to make a decision, then that's fine too, right? I mean, if I were a senator, would I like to hear from Bolton? Sure. I think that witness reciprocity would make sense, whether the Republicans were to call Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, the whistleblower, or someone else. You know, going one for one, I think, is a fair way to approach it.
What do you think about that, Angela, this idea of having Joe Biden testify in exchange for John Bolton? Or what are your thoughts on this?
I think it's ridiculous. I think that when you consider the fact that Hillary Clinton during the 2016 election had to testify on Benghazi, and there's no way that Donald Trump, after being impeached by the House, this is not just impeachment at this point. This is about removal. He will never see a witness stand or witness table in the United States Senate. And I don't think this is about one for one. I think it is about the fact that there has been a clear cover-up, and this administration doesn't want to be accountable for that. I'm not just using a Democratic talking point. There are facts that have led us to believe that that is in fact what has happened. And you can continue to point the finger as a distraction to Joe Biden, or you can really want to get to the heart of what it means to be a patriot in this country. And that means to allow people who were in the room, who saw Donald Trump utilize and abuse his power, testify and get to the bottom of this.
Let's talk a little bit about closing arguments. In that argument, Trump's attorney Jay Sekulow talking about Trump's July 25th phone call during his closing arguments with Ukraine's president, in which they spoke about military aid and investigations.
The president of the United States knew when he was on that call there were a lot of people listening from our side and from their side. So he knew what he was saying. He said it. We released a transcript of it.
Matt, do you feel like this is a defense? I mean, he's admitting to talking about investigations and also holding up military aid.
Well, I mean, again, I think the transcript is pretty clear about what was said and what wasn't said, who brought certain subjects up and who didn't.
By definition is not exactly a transcript, but yes.
Well, no one that I know who's serious has claimed that the transcript does not reflect what was said. Either way, setting that aside, it seems to me that where I think Senate Republicans have come down on is that they don't believe that abuse of power or obstruction of Congress is an impeachable offense in and of itself. And so whether John Bolton testifies or not doesn't change the question of whether those are truly impeachable offenses or not. I mean, the Democrats have charged lots of things against Donald Trump just over this Ukraine stuff. They've talked about bribery. They've talked about extortion. They've talked about campaign finance violations. That's not what the impeachment articles say. The impeachment articles are these other two things that are not criminal violations, that are not statutory violations. They're sort of in a different category entirely. So that's if the Senate Republicans ultimately determine not to call new witnesses, that I think will be the reason why.
Let's take a bigger picture here. Angela, do you think Democrats could ultimately pay a political price for impeaching and voting to remove the president? Are you at all concerned about that?
I'm not concerned because they did the right thing. Doing the right thing, whether early, on time, or late, is always important. And I just hope that the leadership that has come out of the Democratic Party in the House and the Senate somehow rubs off on what has become the feckless Senate Republican majority. It is time to do the right thing. And it is laughable to say that abuse of power or obstruction of Congress, which is obstruction of justice, are not impeachable offenses. People are charged for those things. Obstruction of justice is a criminal charge, right, in any other sense. And I cannot believe that this is the conversation we're have going into 2020. I cannot imagine what the conversation would be if we were talking about Barack Obama.
I want to talk to you guys about the Iowa caucuses, which are which will be next week. But I want to talk about something else that just happened this week. Were either of you surprised to see the president unveil this Middle East peace plan in the midst of the impeachment trial and really excluding Democrats from today's signing of the USMCA trade deal? Let's hear Trump this morning thanking Senate Republicans.
And maybe I'm being just nice to him because I want their vote. Does that make sense? I don't want to leave anybody out.
Matt, but he did leave someone out. I mean, he left. He couldn't have gotten this deal passed without Democrats.
Well, sure. And it would have been customary in a traditional sense to have both parties there. On the other hand, I mean, Congress is going through impeachment right now. So it is a hyperpartisan time. I can understand why he doesn't want to go above and beyond and socialize with Democrats at the moment. I mean, they don't want to socialize with him. The language the Democrats have used about President Trump over the first 3 years is unlike anything we've ever seen in politics. And so we are at a very low point right now. I do think the president will be acquitted the next few days or few weeks, and hopefully we can move beyond that and talk about infrastructure and prescription drugs and highway funding bill and all kinds of other things that need to get done this year.
Okay, let's talk a bit about the 2020 election with the time I have with you. The Democrats running for president are making their final arguments ahead of the Iowa caucuses on Monday. Former Vice President Joe Biden remains the national front runner, but Bernie Sanders is in second place and he's gaining ground at this point. Is Iowa Bernie Sanders to lose? Angela, what do you think?
I think if you look at current polling, the answer is yes. I think that the reality of the Democratic Party is that it is super fractured. The big tent is one that has to soon decide if the tent is large enough to encompass all of these varying perspectives on policy issues. And I don't know that that is the case. I think that what you're seeing is that there are some concerns about age. There are some concerns about policy. Mm-hmm. There are some concerns about who can beat Trump versus what I really want. And you're seeing people wrestle with this throughout this election.
Yeah, Matt, I saw that you tweeted a story about how it would be crazy for Sanders to be the Democratic nominee against Trump if that happens. Why do you feel that way?
Yeah, it was from Jonathan Chait, and his basic point is that Sanders is unnecessarily risky, and I think that's probably right. I think if you think about sort of positioning, the question in the general election is going to be who can go after those voters in the middle, who can go after suburban voters that helped build the Democratic majority in 2018, and I think Sanders on the far left of the ideological spectrum makes that easier for Trump. Trump's going to call whoever the Democratic nominee is a socialist, but in Bernie Sanders' case, he won't deny it, I imagine. So I think if he wins Iowa, you're going to see the Democratic Party have a total freak out, and he may then win New Hampshire as well, and he may be very difficult to stop.
A lot to watch for. That's Angela Rye. She is a Democratic strategist, and Matt Makowiak is a Republican strategist. Thank you both for taking the time.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.